The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
It ain't the left side or the right side, and it must be the fence side. It ain't the left side.
Good evening, Dolphins fans. Welcome to another episode of On the Fence Side here with Kat and Paul. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Spreaker, iTunes, YouTube, iHeartRadio, and Spotify. I'm Brian Kat, NFL. Paul is Fanatic underscore Pick on Twitter. We've just wrapped up the Senior Bowl game, and so the NFL draft season continues pour along here. And, you know, I think, Paul, this is really just kind of another excuse for us to get on and talk about some of these NFL draft prospects. We had a really good show previewing the Senior Bowl, and it always leads into other topics. But quite a few talented players here for the national and the American team. Brian Flores's national team ends up winning 27-24 in this game. Texas A&M quarterback Kellen Mond is the MVP, 13-25 passing with two touchdowns. So, yeah, I mean, we'll go through a few that kind of up their draft status throughout the week, as well as some players that really stuck out from the game here. But any observations off the top from you in this contest?
Yeah, I hated that Kellen Mond won MVP in this one, to be honest with you. I saw, and granted, he got his stuff together a little bit more later on, but I saw a quarterback that couldn't hit the broadside of a barn early in this matchup, and that worries me from a guy that I was really looking at towards the end as a potential developmental guy towards the end of this year's draft. I was disappointed, but understanding that it sounds like Flores kept Quinn Meinerz from playing in this game. He was a guy we talked about a lot in our preview show, but apparently Flores kept him out due to a broken hand. Sounds like the guy wanted to play, which I love in alignment, and you and I both know Flores had to adore that fact. Other than as far as a stock down for me with really almost as a whole, the tight end class, other than maybe Trey McKitty, I did not walk away impressed with this class. I thought they had a mediocre week, and I thought it was even worse in the game overall.
Yeah, as far as developmental quarterbacks, I don't think we saw them here in this game, especially for the Dolphins. I mean, I know we're both proponents of drafting developmental quarterbacks somewhere in the middle to late rounds. I don't know if the opportunity is going to present itself this year. I mean, not only Kellen Mond, who, you know, I saw a lot of really good throws from him in this game, especially down the seam, you know, in that 10 to 15 yard area, I thought were really good. But yeah, he had some pretty ugly ones too. But other than him, you know, Ian Book doesn't have an NFL arm. Sam Ellinger, I question if he has an NFL arm, even though a lot of people are higher on him than I am. So yeah, not a lot of quarterbacks there that impressed us from an NFL draft standpoint. And a tight end, yeah, I've got to say I'm happy that I don't have to listen to you talk about wanting to add a fourth tight end on to this team here, because
other than Kyle Pitts.
Well, okay, yeah, Kyle Pitts is somebody that is a rare breed, and he's basically a wide receiver. Other than Kyle Pitts and Pat Freiermuth, I mean, I don't even see anybody in this draft class who can even touch Adam Shaheen or Durham Smythe, which really isn't saying much.
Maybe Freiermuth from Penn State. Yeah, that's pretty much it. It's an ugly cliff that gets fallen off, and Freiermuth's like hanging onto that branch halfway down the cliff, and Pitts is up at the top going, anybody else? Anybody? So, yeah.
He might be that way at receiver, too. I don't think he'll separate himself that much, but yeah, we'll talk a lot more about Kyle Pitts. He'll be a popular name here over the next 3 months.
He might take up our whole tight end show. Cause
yeah, I don't know. Yeah, we're going to have to combine that with other stuff, I think. One of the bigger plays in the game, and probably the play of the game, was running back Michael Carter breaking several tackles, going for 27 yards. He's somebody that very clearly upped his draft status this week. I mean, I think he came into the week here as a more of a fourth round selection, and I think now he's looking in that second, third round area. I heard a really good comparison for him. I think it was Dane Brugler. I'm not positive. That's Naheem Hines, and you know, he's undersized, but plays low to the ground, but pretty stocky in his own right too. And again, he gets from point A to point B and runs hard. So he's somebody that the Dolphins may consider here if he's available in the third or fourth round.
Absolutely. I mean, it's, yeah, no, I just, it's, I'm still thinking about probably my most disappointing player in this one. Sorry, I've got myself distracted here. Other than what I saw from Kellen Mond, Deontay at guard, I know he was a guy that we were looking to hopefully see something from. And I walked away so disappointed in this one. I know you did too. I saw you tweeting about it as well. I just thought he was a turnstile early, and really between him and the tight ends early in this game, Kellen Mond had zero chances in that pocket. He was just getting pelted pretty early on, and God, Deontay was so bad. I couldn't get over it.
He got torched on a sack and forced fumble by Odigizua from UCLA, who really had a good week and had a great game here. 6'2", 280 pounds. He's somebody that was really disruptive throughout the weekend in this game. He torched Deontay Brown, basically ran completely around him. And you saw in this game, I don't know if I've ever seen a player have a worse Senior Bowl game here than Alabama guard Deontay Brown. And he screwed up early in the week and probably at the buffet weeks before that by showing up at 364 pounds. And it's one thing if you're just mauling people, but he wasn't doing that throughout the week. He wasn't doing it in the game. He was getting run around in the game. But the video I posted on my Twitter page has him trying to go out and block on a screen pass. And not only could he not, he laughably couldn't do it, but he also didn't even look like he cared to try. I mean, I really think this is somebody who went from a third round pick to possibly being undrafted.
Yeah. And do me a favor. I was just thinking about this. If one of our listeners is able to make memes, I really want one of the guy with the stick poking Deontay Brown saying, do something. Because that's all I could think of with him watching him play in this game. So, Kat, I apologize. I totally derailed. Were you asking me about Michael Carter before? Because
I was done with Michael Carter. We've talked enough about him. I mean, unless you have something to throw in there.
No, he surprised me this week. I mean, he was a guy that really wasn't on my radar. I liked him, but I didn't really see him as a fit. I mean, he's what, 5'7"? And you know, here I've been talking about the big backs, and in a game that Ramondre Stevenson played in, I wound up walking away more impressed with the little guy. I know that Ramondre Stevenson was puking early in the week. I'm hopeful that was the cause of his poor play, because he did not look like the same player that I've been talking about for a while now. But kind of made me a little nervous and dropped his stock, whether he was sick or not.
You know, what surprised me a little bit is he showed up at 227 pounds, and I thought he was more of a 240, 245 pound guy. Now, maybe that, see, I don't know, because it could be better. It could mean that he was in better shape, but if he's puking in the practice, as you said, you know more about that than I do. Yeah. Then that takes some credibility away from that. Cause you would think if he shows up at 227, he's supposed to be in a lot better shape. And from that point, I mean, wouldn't you rather just have him at 246 so he can run people over more? So, yeah, he's somebody who certainly hurt his stock this week, and we didn't see much of him in the game either. At wide receiver, Demetric Felton continued his great Senior Bowl week here with a touchdown early in the game. He beat Georgia cornerback DJ Daniels, who had a rough game and a rough week at the cornerback spot. Des Fitzpatrick, 6 catches for 90 yards, got open a lot. It seemed like he was the target over and over again in the first half. Had a couple of drops, but throughout the week had a lot of really good Aronde Gadsden-like giant hands catches. So he's kind of been the other guy opposite Tutu Atwell at Louisville, more that possession guy. I don't know where he figures into this. He's not a player I've had a chance to look a whole heck of a lot at, but yeah, he did. When you lead the Senior Bowl and with 90 receiving yards there, you know, that can up you a little bit.
It can. And two other receivers I thought really upped their stock this week. Shy Smith, who I've been talking about since last draft when I wanted him to come out. And I know we spent a lot of time on it. And Amari Rodgers, I thought, really had a good week, even if he didn't put up the biggest numbers in the game. He's another guy that really, I think, moved himself up a lot of radars this week as far as the receiving core goes.
He could fit that same type of role that Hunter Renfro, the also a Clemson Tiger, has in the NFL, where, hey, he's not going to beat you with his speed, but he's in the slot and underneath. He's a really good receiver, can break tackles after the catch. You know, he's not going to kill you over the top, but still a really good player in his own right here. And he had a couple of catches in this game too. On the offensive line, I keep going back here to Dylan Radins from North Dakota State. And, you know, for me, what a lot of people tend to say is that there may not be that big of a difference between Penei Sewell and then the second and third offensive tackles, which are presumably Rashawn Slater from Northwestern and Christian Darrisaw from Virginia Tech. I couldn't disagree more with that. I see Penei Sewell perched up way at the top, and then I see Rashawn Slater and Christian Darrisaw as kind of mid to late first round prospects. And I don't see a big difference with Dylan Radins here. I think he had a phenomenal week. He's 6'6", 300 plus pounds. He can play guard, and I think his best position is left tackle. If you get him into a scheme where he can use that athleticism to get downfield and provide those blocks, as well as wall off defenders on the edge, I really think we might be talking about a late first round pick here.
We might, we should. And I don't know if we will be, which is crazy to me. It's he has all the talent to be up there, but I think given some of the log jams that are there in the first round, we may see Raiden slide as far as the late second, as good as he is. He's a guy that I came in liking, and given the fact that there's not going to be a true combine this year, there's not going to be a lot of the true methodologies that normally exist, we're going to see an even bigger case of what we saw last year with the NFL draft, which is we're going to see Dylan Radins probably in the top 20 on some people's draft boards and not even in the top 100 on other people's draft boards. Guys like that are going to be the ones that are so erratically graded for a lot of these teams, given the fact that these scouts aren't in the same place looking at the guys going, oh, look at that guy. Yeah, I like him too. You know, and things like that. And you know, watching these guys look at somebody and go, ooh, what is he looking at over there? There's a lot of that. And it has a big impact over time throughout the process here.
Yeah, that's a good point. And I think Radins would be erratically graded even if this were a regular year, because he's somebody that may not fit every scheme. If you're looking for a big hulking left tackle, you may go for an Alex Leatherwood, who didn't have a great week in Mobile here. You know, I thought Radins potentially may have leapfrogged Leatherwood, even though I like Leatherwood's tape a lot better this year than I did last year. But yeah, like you said there, you know, logjam is the word at left tackle right now, because when you talk about, you know, that second tier of tackles, there could be 4 to 10 offensive tackles there. I mean, you're talking about Raidens and Alex Leatherwood, Sam Cosmi from Texas. Also, you know, players who showed up this week and played well. James Hudson from Cincinnati and Deontay Smith from East Carolina. So we could be talking about a deep offensive tackle class. The question is, you know, can you get a quality one in the third or fourth round? You might be able to, and I don't know if the Dolphins would be willing to draft a developmental left tackle when they've got two developmental guys at both tackle spots now.
Yeah. And I'm glad you mentioned Leatherwood. I can see him being a guy that I kind of felt last year he was all over the map as far as where he was really draftable. And I don't think he grew his stock to solidify himself as that second rounder like some people believe this year. I really think he's one of those guys that's going to be all over the map on a lot of people's draft boards too. I think his ceiling is a lot lower than a lot of the players, but his floor is a lot higher than their floor, which he's just that steady, consistent, okay tackle. That's okay. There's a role for that. One guy I want to talk about, though, I'm going to flip over to the defensive side of the ball for a minute. Tuff Borland, the linebacker from Ohio State, which if all you were looking for was helmets, their entire linebacking core felt like it was from Ohio State in this one at times, because they had three guys there. But Tuff Borland was a guy I really liked going into this one, and I was kind of disappointed because I did see the physical limitations that I saw at times watching his tape from Ohio State. But I feel like there's still a role for the guy at the NFL level, even though he's never going to be an all-pro linebacker. He doesn't have the tools for that, but he's a solid, steady player that's consistent. And there are roles for linebackers like that in the NFL at the next level if he gets the right coaching staff.
Yeah, I agree. And you look at him as a player, I mean, if he can play special teams, I think, for example, he would be an upgrade on the Dolphins over a Calvin Munson as far as what he can bring on defense.
Well, so kind of Larry Izzo, right?
Yeah, those are heavy words, Larry Izzo. I mean,
Larry Izzo type. I don't know if he'll reach that.
Larry Izzo type. Yes, I'll go with Larry Izzo type on that. But as far as Ohio State linebackers, you're right. They had, what, four in this game? They've got four that will probably be drafted. Justin Hilliard, who's kind of creeping up a little bit. But Baron Browning is the one that's really starting to shine. And he's looking like a really good athlete as well. I mean, he's when I watched him at Ohio State, really inconsistent from down to down. But I like somebody who has a little bit of bite, some athleticism, some length, some size. At least that's something you can mold. Right now he's looking kind of in that third round area, but should be the first Ohio State linebacker drafted, at least at this time.
Yeah, no, he's got a lot of size to go with that speed that he's got. I mean, it's if he can put it together, he needs coaching big time at the next level. He needs somebody that's going to figure out the right way to utilize him. And if you can utilize his strengths while masking some of his weaknesses while he develops, he could be a lot bigger stud than where he's going to go in this draft. And speaking of size, one of the guys, and I already saw him pop up in chat, and I didn't acknowledge it because I wanted to talk about him here, that I walked away really impressed with, Keith Taylor, the cornerback. Not a guy I expected to walk away impressed with, but he's long. My notes actually have got long, fluid, and sticky. I think he was 6'3". He was all over everyone in his area in this game. And he's a guy that I hate looking at corners in this, but looking at Keith, looking at Ife Melifonwu, I walked away impressed with both of them in this game.
I agree. And I think they came away out of this game looking like the most NFL ready for a very simple reason. For big guys, and they're both 6'2", 6'3", I thought they could turn their hips a lot better than the other cornerbacks that I saw here throughout the weekend in this game. For example, I thought who's the young pup here? Brian Mills from NC Central had a pretty rough game. I think that the longest catch of the game was by Des Fitzpatrick on Mills, and he had another ugly play in addition to that. Look, cornerback's a tough position to play as a rookie. I mean, it is a league designed for you to fail. It is against the NFL's interest for cornerbacks to do well. So you have to be really talented here when you step out onto the field. So yeah, I thought Melifonwu and Taylor made a lot of money for themselves this week. I thought they kind of entered the week as fourth, fifth round picks. Maybe now they get into day two here.
Yeah, and just real quick, I'll touch on it. KJ Britt, I thought, looked really athletic in this game. But the guy I walked away loving in this that I've talked about till I'm blue in the face before this, sounds like the coaches lined him up all over the secondary this week, and he rose to the challenge when they did. So you didn't even get to see all of that in the game. But Richie Grant from UCF, he just continues to shoot up my draft board. He was a guy I really wanted to come out last year, and I hate that. It drives me insane how many guys went back last year and lost a year due to COVID or because they opted out. This is going to be the weirdest draft ever, I think, Kat.
It's going to be fun.
It really is. And I think Richie, when all is said and done, even with the weirdness of this draft, he is a guy that started this process probably as a fifth rounder on a lot of draft boards, and I could see him going in the late second, early third easily. And I think he's going to end up playing a lot better than that draft position when he gets to that next level.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting to see when it comes to like athletic testing and 40 times, because those are going to be done at pro days exclusively, because there's not going to be a scouting combine, and how much credibility is given to those this year, given that, okay, you tested a little bit faster in your pro day compared to the combine usually. But Richie Grant's the type of guy where if he, with what he has put out there on film and in the Senior Bowl, if he ran in the 4.4s, you might be talking about higher than late second, early third round. You could be talking about maybe probably not first round, but maybe a little bit higher in the second round. So if he tests out athletically well, and it's a credible workout, then he might be in the running for the first or second safety taken. So Richie Grant, somebody definitely that is shooting up boards. And I found it interesting this week when I took a look at the safeties coming here, I looked at him and Nazir Dean from Florida State. And I thought those are two guys who are both big free safety types who are going to be competing throughout the week. Nazir Dean had a terrible week. He didn't look impressive in the game, and Grant was the exact opposite. So I don't know how anybody could have Nazir Dean higher than Richie Grant heading into the rest of this draft process.
I guarantee you people do. And I think Richie Grant would have to absolutely fall apart in any workout for Flores to not consider the guy. The guy can play everything in the secondary, and he can play it well. And you know Flores loves his corners and safeties. He can play it intelligently. You can move Richie Grant around in the way that you move Bobby McCain around, and he's more athletic. He plays and reminds me a lot of the Honey Badger in a lot of ways, but he hits a little harder. That's pretty much where I've got him at. Slightly different flavors, but overall, best NFL comp I can come up with, and that's a pretty big compliment.
Yeah, I think he might play in the box and move around a little bit. Honey Badger's a, you know, four-time Pro Bowler. He's cut from a different cloth, and he's undersized too. So there's some differences there, but I understand what you're saying as far as the role is concerned. Other players too here, it's sticking on the defensive side of the ball. At cornerback as well, one last guy, Benjamin St. Juice from Minnesota, is also that third cornerback. I thought went from really an unknown guy to maybe a mid-rounder this week. When you're 6'3", 200 pounds, and you show that you can turn and run with these wide receivers that showed up in mobile, that's a big thing for him. On the front wall there, at defensive end, three guys really stuck out for me in this game and throughout the week too, is Ellerson Smith from Northern Iowa, 6'7", 265 pounds. And when I looked at him, not only did he have that weight, but he also carried it very, very well. This guy can move. He's got a lot. I mean, he's got long arms. He's coordinated. to me, even though he wasn't incredibly productive at a small school, he's somebody fourth, fifth round you take a look at. I think he's certainly worth the investment at that spot. Cameron Sample from Tulane, yes, and OC Odigizua, whose brother was actually drafted by the Giants in the third round a few years ago, didn't materialize, but Sample and Odigizua are two people that I just say disruptive interior types of players. 6'2", 6'3", 275-pound to 280-pound guys. Those are the type of guys that the Dolphins could really carve a role for, that kind of Jason Strobridge type of role in this Dolphins defense that could steal 20 or 25 snaps a game, causing pressure on the inside.
Yeah, no, I really like Sample and Quincy Roche. I did you mention Quincy? Sorry, I was.
No, I didn't. I didn't.
Quincy was another one that impressed me. Not so much doing the Strobridge type role, but given his speed around the edge, just over and over and over again, he seemed to beat his guy. And you can find ways to utilize that at the next level. I do think he's a little more of a role player than a lot of people think. But yeah, Sample's one of those fun guys that you can move all over the place, and I be that little tweener that, you know, may not be pushing people off the ball, but he just makes things happen.
Yeah, absolutely. And also Dalen Hayes from Notre Dame is somebody that I'm going to take a closer look at, because he was just I kept writing down assignment sound and everything that he was doing. And that's something that'll certainly catch the eye of the Dolphins. Now, a few other players in the negative light in this game. Jamie Newman, the quarterback from Georgia, who transferred from Wake Forest, just an odd college career. It seemed like he was starting to show more and more promise at Wake Forest. Then he transferred to Georgia, and then he opted out. And there were rumors, and I emphasize rumors, that he was getting beat up by Daniels at Georgia at the quarterback spot. That's why he opted out, to basically preserve his draft stock. But I watched him in this game. He threw a terrible interception. It was a flutter ball, was into triple coverage. Ball bounced up, and it was intercepted by Hamlin, the safety from Pittsburgh. Regardless of how or why he sat out, I mean, and I know he sat out, opted out because of COVID, he needed to play football this year, because he came in and he looked terrible in this game. I don't even think I'm drafting him in the sixth or seventh round.
Yeah. I'm probably with you on that. I don't think I would either. I've got enough guys I'm in love with in this draft that I can totally pass this guy over and still be grabbing guys I like in that seventh round.
Yeah. And just overall players for the week here that I thought took a step back, maybe falling down at least around. Jamie Newman, one of them. Ramondre Stevenson, Tylan Wallace, and Sage Surratt are names that seemingly have been in college football for years. And I said some kind words about Tylan Wallace in our preview. I rewatched a lot of his tape from the drills, and he was the only one really not getting off the line of scrimmage, as well as, you know, like Felton and Dwayne Eskridge. It just seems like some of these receivers were flying off the line. Tylan Wallace, I didn't see that as much. So in Oklahoma State, in that conference, you don't get pressed, you don't get covered a lot. You're running wide open a lot of the times. I think Tylan Wallace is going to fall down here as we get through the draft process here. Sage Surratt has great size, but is so much a contested catch guy. I wonder how he's going to get open at all in the pros. Spencer Brown from Northern Illinois, he looks good. He looks like a tight end out there at 6'9", 315, but he lost a lot in drills, and he lost a lot in the game too. Both Alabama offensive linemen Leatherwood and Deontay Brown, I thought, dropped this week. Florida State's defensive tackle Marvin Wilson continues his free fall, as does Nazrul Dean. And from Pittsburgh, Patrick Jones II and Rashad Weaver. I still think they're good prospects, but I think they dropped a little bit this week too, after their performance.
Yeah, I think I'm with you on that. I mean, you mentioned a few of the guys that I couldn't stand. I'm still pissed about Deontay Brown, watching him in this game. Jamie Newman, I know you've mentioned him a couple times now. I disagree a little bit just based on the rust factor. He was a guy I saw a lot of skills potentially there with. And if you want to bring him in, put him on the practice squad, see if you can get a decent quarterback's coach in the pros working with him. I'd be intrigued to see if you can develop him. It's a low-risk, high-reward situation. You're not bringing him in to be Tua's backup if you bring him in. You're bringing him in to be the third, fourth-string quarterback. You're probably bringing in a veteran to be Tua's backup this year. Probably not Fitz like we talked about before. But, again, it's, you know, maybe you've got something there, maybe you don't. And if you do, he does have a lot of physical tools that you don't see very often. So,
yeah.
But other than that, we did get a couple questions in chat. Yes, we are going to be doing a live stream, I think, for the draft this year, Kat, at least round one.
You will be for round one.
Okay. Sorry, I didn't mean to put you on the spot.
I'll tell you, everybody, on draft night, round one, I don't want to have any.
You came and did it last year after saying the same thing. So we might have it.
I did in round two. Round two and round three, I'll be a little more flexible. But we'll see. That's still coming together. Because if I'm here, I can't have anybody at my house. That's the big thing. And I always have a draft party every year in person. We'll see about that. Let's put a pin in that. I'll do the best that I can.
We also got asked about Vince Beagle. Do we think he is going to end up on the roster?
I don't think so. That's just a guess. I mean, if he wants to come back for 1 year, couple million, maybe. But I think he'd have a better opportunity somewhere else.
I do, too. I think that he might be back. I think there's potential. He did have those pass rush skills kind of move up the scale last year before he got hurt. So there is potential there. But, again, if he ended up being some whistleblower or whatever that some people think he was or wasn't, that, and, you know, it does come out. I could see Flores being like, you know what, get out of here. Interesting question we got here, Kat, and I'm going to jump in on this one first. I didn't want to dive in while we were talking about the individual prospects. Somebody asked, if the Dolphins decide they're not high on Sewell, Parsons, or Smith, who would you draft? And if you choose to trade back, who from the Senior Bowl would you consider with that pick if you trade back? For me, there isn't a player I would take above 18 that was at the Senior Bowl this week. So if you trade back, that's easy. I wouldn't take anybody from the Senior Bowl. But again, for me, as far as if you just trade back and you take anybody and Parsons isn't there, you don't like him, I would take Pitts easily.
Yeah, that's kind of a loaded question, a good question too. So if I understand, we're talking Sewell. Sewell's gone. Devontae Smith's gone. Micah Parsons is gone.
Yes.
Is that what I heard?
Yep.
Then Ja'Marr Chase would be the highest guy right now on my board for that. But it also depends, too, on what the Dolphins do in free agency. Because say they come away with Kenny Golladay or Allen Robinson, I don't think you can take Ja'Marr Chase. Because now you've got Chase, Robinson, Gesicki, and Parker. I think you've got four guys who are really good at the same thing, even though it looks like a great wide receiver unit on paper. So in a trade down, you know, I'm more interested what future picks they would get in a trade down, because if you can get a 2022 first rounder and another future pick, we keep this draft party going, you know, and we still have more than enough to add good pieces in this draft and maybe have two first rounders in the next draft. So I'll throw it back at you on this, Paul. You said you wouldn't take anybody from the Senior Bowl, and I agree with you. Or you wouldn't take anyone before 18 for the Senior Bowl, and I agree with you. Let's say, just throwing it out there, the Bears or the Reds, or the Bears or the Washington football team at 20 and 21, okay? Yeah. They call up and say, we will give you our first rounder in 2022, 2023, and we'll give you a third rounder this year. Same price tag for that the Lions got for the Jared Goff, Matt Stafford swap. Okay.
Okay.
They're coming up to take a quarterback at three. Would you be happy going down to 21, getting a 2022 and 2023 first and taking Kadarius Toney?
No, I love Kadarius Toney. I'd rather just draft Kadarius Toney at 18 and move down to 6 or 7 and take Pitts or Parsons. No.
Okay.
I like accumulating, but I think you found the trade down I tap out on. I don't want to leave the top 10. There are too many guys in the top 10 that aren't quarterbacks that Miami's got a crack at here. If you're talking 11 or 12, I think one or two of those guys will slide there. If you're talking 21, 22, I'm not interested.
Yeah, I'm with you on that, because if after all of this, you don't come away with some clearly defined top 7 or top 8 prospects here, I think it's going to start to get to the point where it's like, all right, when are you going to draft somebody here? So and I think you'd be trading down. That 18 to 22 range is kind of the weaker part of the draft for the value, right, as the way the board sits right now. So I'm with you. I think if the Dolphins can get down to that 8 to 10 range in a trade down, get like a first rounder next year from a team like the Lions or the Broncos who need a quarterback, that's probably the best way to go there. So very good questions. Not surprised. We have an intelligent audience, Paul. And we look forward to keeping up with this audience throughout the rest of the NFL draft process. We're continuing to work away on the film, and we're going to continue to bring you solid content here. That's going to do it for our breakdown of the Senior Bowl football game. What's that, Paul?
I said, click the buttons, guys. Click the buttons.
Click the buttons.
Yeah, click the likes, click the subscribes, click that share button, all of those things. They help us out. They really do. And I really appreciate all we've been getting from you guys over the past few months. Thank you very much. The chat's been awesome, by the way. Really appreciate all of it.
Absolutely. And yeah, we really do appreciate it. And I was going to say something clever, like, or dark, like, if you don't push the subscribe button, then we hate your entire... I don't know. I can't come up with anything, but anyway, we're just going to leave it there on a positive note as usual here. So I'm not sure what the next show is going to be now here. We're going to continue to go through with the position by position grades, or not grades, but talking about position by position as we continue to roll through the film here, Paul. So that's going to do it for our breakdown of the Senior Bowl game, where Brian Flores' national team won 27-24. I'm Brian Catt, NFL. Paul is Fanatic_Pick on Twitter. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Spreaker, iTunes, YouTube, iHeartRadio, and Spotify. And if it's not on the right side and it's not on the left side, it is on the Fin side.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications at TryLifeMD.com? We're now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
It's fun to put on jeans that you couldn't get into 6 months ago.
Every morning, I look forward to getting on the scale. For anybody who's struggling with their weight, it's a godsend.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar-S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy 5 or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.